From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series of studies of the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the conclusion of a message entitled Trophies of Grace and Testimonies to the Success of the Gospel. In Romans 1 verse 7, Paul was writing, To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ancient Rome was a city given over to pleasure and vice, and yet, even prior to Paul's visit, there was a thriving church there. The Roman Christians proved their love for Christ in the fires of martyrdom. As Dr. Cairns is demonstrating, the gospel is a glorious, powerful message, which succeeds in rescuing sinners from the deepest darkness and depraved conditions. Paul's words show that the gospel expresses the sovereign goodness of God in His immeasurable love for sinners. Finally, the gospel succeeds because it sustains and satisfies those whom it saves. Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of this message in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, No Cause to Blush. The text is Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. We shall not be ashamed of our faith. Carping critics may assail the scriptures upon which we ground our belief, but every year the Lord will make it more and more clear that in His book there is no error, no excess, and no omission. It is no discredit to be a simple believer. The faith which looks alone to Jesus is a crown of honor on any man's head, and better than a star on his breast. We shall not be ashamed of our hope. It shall be even as the Lord has said. We shall be fed, led, blessed, and rested. Our Lord will come, and then the days of our mourning shall be ended. How we shall glory in the Lord who first gave us lively hope, and then gave us that which we had hoped for. We shall not be ashamed of our love. Jesus is to us the altogether lovely, and never, never shall we have to blush because we have yielded our hearts to Him. The sight of our glorious well-beloved will justify the most enthusiastic attachment to Him. None will blame the martyrs for dying for Him. When the enemies of Christ are clothed with everlasting contempt, the lovers of Jesus shall find themselves honored by all holy beings because they chose the reproach of Christ rather than the treasures of Egypt.
Throne,
have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it, several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs at freepres.org. That's ltbs at freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
Referred to an English writer, C. Leopold Clark. And Clark said something I think that we easily overlook. You know, remember, these New Testament churches were first century Christians. And you've got to see them in their own historical context. He said the central motive of paganism was that of the sanctification of every human indulgence and vice by representing it exemplified in a god. What does that mean? The Church of England canon who wrote a great work on ecclesiastical and civil history, Canon Townsend, put it this way. It lets you see what the gospel was working against. The idolatry of paganism prescribed the mode in which every crime which could injure society, every vice which stained the heart, every thought that sullied the conscience could be united with external homage to the deity, with a magnificent ritual and a constant worship of the invisible. Then he said this, every evil was sanctified by the example of a God. Every sin was an act of devotion. Stealing, that was the service, if my memory's right, of Minerva. Adultery, fornication, promiscuity, that was the devotion of the soul to Venus. Paganism took every vice, every wickedness, every filthy thing that the human heart was capable of conceiving, and it dressed it up in the form of an act of worship to some god or other. Now that's what was going on in Rome. And then the gospel came in. And according to the gospel, these idolatrous obscenities were vices, not devotions. And the gods in whose worship they were committed were not gods but devils. That's what the gospel preached. It's true that Judaism joined Christianity in opposing or condemning the vices of paganism. But Judaism, with its dependence on the works of the law, had not the power to change the society and the people in it. But the gospel had, and the gospel did. So Paul could talk to these people in Rome, appeal to their own testimony, say, look, God called you, and what has he done? He's made you saints. In a society that is really one extended sewage site, morally speaking, God has made you holy. He's made you saints. It was true of the Romans, as it was true of the Thessalonians, that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. It was true what was true of the Corinthians. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. These were new people. They were saints, where before they'd been sinners. You even take the church of Corinth, and how often we lament the wickedness and the sin that seeped back into the church in Corinth. I don't want to make any excuses for them. But remember what I've just said. They were reared with the belief and the practice that every sin was an act of devotion to a god. That's how they were raised. And Satan tripped some of them up and hauled them back into their sin. But what did Paul respond with? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That is what's called a periphrastic description of the vilest sexual perversion of the Sodomites. As Paul wrote it, it was actually very, very vivid language. Paul did not pull his punches as he described the filth of the Sodomites. And he says, neither they, nor thieves, nor coveters, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, that wasn't only true of Corinth, that was true of Rome. In due time, we'll get down to Romans 1, verse 22 to 32. And when you look at that, where you've got the threefold statement that God gave them up because of their idolatry, because of their immorality, because of their impenitence, God gave them up. You look at the city of Rome, and it was just as bad as Corinth. And yet against this background of vice, the gospel came and truly sanctified the lives of believers. I haven't time to follow that through much tonight, except to say this to you. It's always the work of God through the gospel to make sinners into saints. What does he do? He unites believers with Christ. He indwells those believers with the Holy Spirit. He gives them a new heart, a new mind, a new will. He gives them a new desire. He gives them a new ability that they never had before to conform to his holy law and will. In the midst of universal degradation, the gospel shines with light and power to make man holy. That's why Paul says it's the power of God unto salvation. There's none too sinful. There's none too degraded. There's none hopeless. This is the confidence Paul had in the gospel. He's saying to these people, look, this is a glorious message. This is a powerful message. This is the message for the world. Your own life tells you it. God has the power to make big sinners into great saints. Men and women, we need that confidence again today. America is sinking in an ocean of paganism. Paganism is plastered before our eyes at every step and every turn. There are official pagan churches, pagan societies. With paganism always comes superstition. You can't turn anywhere today, but you hear some person or other saying, I'm not religious, but I'm deeply into spirituality. That spirituality is always pagan superstition. With pagan superstition comes pagan immorality. Viciousness, wickedness, unspeakable uncleanness. This nation is going down deeper and faster than Imperial Rome ever went, and it's going for the same reasons, choking on the vomit of its own indulgence and its own selling out to the wickedness and the viciousness of paganism. That's what's happening. What's the answer? I will be very honest with you, I do not know where we are in the program of God's prophetic scheme. And anybody else who tells you he does know is either a lunatic or he's pulling your leg. I don't know where we are. But I want to tell you, though I have no idea if there is any hope, maybe I'm a pessimist, I really can't see in Scripture any hope for the institutions that we call states, whether they be the United States or the United Kingdom or the states of Europe. But I do say this. If my reading of Revelation 7 is right, no matter what is happening on a state, God has millions upon millions upon millions of sinners to save and souls to conquer. And that he will do. We need the confidence to take the gospel to a pagan world. Final word. Paul could look at these people and say, you know the gospel succeeds. You're its testimony because you know it sustains and it satisfies those whom it saves. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's both a prayer and a benediction, a statement of fact and of promise. Really saying the same thing as Philippians 1 verse 6, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. The word is completed until the day of Jesus Christ. He says grace, that's God's favor. Peace, that's the enjoyment of everything that grace brings. And it's from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, and I think this is a beautiful picture, God and his Son stand pledged to make the gospel effective and successful in every believer. You will note in passing, by the way, that Paul looked on God the Father and God the Son as co-equal. This would be blasphemy if he did not believe in the deity of Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking of the deity of Christ. And his idea is, brethren, hell and earth may oppose God's people, but God is their Father. Jesus Christ is their supreme ruler. And Father and Son stand pledged to give all the grace that we need to stand for him. What a benediction. I leave you with it tonight. Grace to you. Let me ask you, are you beloved of God? Are you among God's darlings? Are you called of God? Are you being sanctified by the Spirit of God? Listen then. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. What's he saying? He's saying, brethren, live in the light of the gospel. Live in the light of these truths. God is your Father. Why on earth do we go through life living like orphans? God is our Father. Why do we go through life as victims of circumstances or of the devil? Jesus Christ is our Lord. Father and Son have made every provision that we need. As Peter says, his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Take this truth. Paul says, look, this is your testimony. You know it. If you're saved, you know that what I've said tonight is your own personal testimony, your trophies and testimonies of the gospel of grace. You know that this free justification by the imputed righteousness of Christ is not, as critics say, a license to sin. It's not the enemy of good works. It's the enemy of sin. It's the enemy of Satan. It's the fount from which all true virtue will flow in a Christian's life. It's the only message that can satisfy you. It's the only message that can sustain you. It's the only message can give you confidence to go out and witness. It's the only message for a world that's sunk in sin. So take this gospel. Learn all you can about it. Live it to the full. And then let it be heard to the ends of the earth. For never forget, there's only one gospel. And it alone. I know that this is not popular in this inclusivist age. But it alone is the powerful and the glorious message of the one true and living God for the salvation of sinners of every kind and in every place.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.